Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
And I'm John.
We got a special guest.
Derek.
There we go.
Nice to meet you, Derek.
Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer. We'll get started.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we just want to take the opportunity to, as always, give you thanks. Give you thanks for giving us the chance to know you better, giving us the courage to bring our issues to the table and try to figure out what you have to say about them. Father, we want to commit ourselves to you and commit this whole time to you, Father, so that whatever it is that you want to come out of it, that's what comes out of it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Derek, we barely know you, but you've been gracious enough to say, you know, heck yeah, I'll come on your podcast. Yeah. Why not, right? Almost like Jason was whenever I was like, hey, Jason, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. He's like, why haven't we started already? Like, what are you doing, bro? Hurry up. But I know you've been talking to my wife a little bit. We've had maybe a 15-minute conversation as right. much as we know each other. She asked you to maybe listen to an episode before you came, and I'm curious what you thought.
Thought it was good. I was actually thinking about it for the last few days, and the thing that stood out to me the most, I was actually still looking at it earlier, was the moment when you had the guy come into your office. You said
yeah.
he didn't realize you were spiritual.
Yeah.
That has stood out to me to where I'm like, I need to pay attention to myself, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I got guys at work that are always watching.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I like that. That was good. That stood out to me. It was a good episode.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. Go back and listen to the rest of it. It's good stuff. Some of it's good. Some of it's really rough. When we very first started, I personally think that where we started is okay. Mm-hmm. But it's grown a lot.
You ain't got a lot.
It's grown a lot. We've gotten a lot better at it. We've gotten a lot more comfortable where we just kind of know what we're doing. I would think that we're probably the least prepared podcasters on the planet, though.
Yeah,
we don't really come in super prepared. Yeah.
And you heard the game plan. Like, you sat here, we talked for about 15 minutes. And we're like, hey, we're going to try to do it this, and this. And the next thing you know,
I'm curious too, like, so I guess Terry asked you, which is my wife, if you would be interested in being on the podcast. What made you say yes?
I don't know.
She's forceful. Did she make you be here, bro?
It was spare the moment. Something, I was just there and I just said yes. And I started to say something to Renee earlier. I was going to say, you know, I never would have said yes. I don't think it was something just so told me to do it, and I'm doing it. You know,
That's awesome.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
That is cool, man, because, I mean, like, to me, that kind of feels like it's not necessarily God saying, hey, you need to do this, but it's kind of like the pressure point.
Right.
Like, he's kind of, like, nudging you, like, this might be something for you.
Yeah, exactly. What we talk about, like, you know, growth comes in discomfort, right? Like whenever we go through a growth process, it comes through some pain usually. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, or coming out of your comfort zone. Because like we were talking about working on video and stuff like that, neither one of us is really comfortable with having our face out there for the world to look at and criticize and all that stuff. But we stand on work. We stand on the promise that God has given, right? And we want to do something for God's kingdom. We are not Bible scholars by any stretch. Right, we're just two dudes trying to figure out life, and we say it, our mantra is presenting a perfect man in a not so perfect way. That's us to a T. We're just trying to help, you know what I mean? And we love having people, you know, ask us questions or even say, hey, you know, you might have a wrong understanding there, and throw us an idea, help us get better. That's what we want to do, and we're just having to invite everybody who wants to along for the ride, you know what I'm saying? It does open up the door for a lot of potential criticism and whatnot. And we've openly talked about being prepared for that. It is what it is, right?
Well, we've had some a little bit of backlash and some people kind of say some,
there's been a handful,
not so wonderful things, but
yeah,
I mean, it is kind of is what it is. I mean, when you do something like this, you got to be prepared for it.
Yeah. What was it? Yeah. There's, what's the scripture where you like, you got to be ready to defend it at any time. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't remember where it's at or what it is. I can't even remember it word for word, but basically defend your faith, be prepared to defend your faith at any time, knowing that, this whole relationship is a process, right? Where I started is not where I am right now. And that's, mm-hmm. that's important, but we also have to remember we're not finished. The process continues. Yeah. Right. That's why constantly at church, they're talking about a next step, a next step, a next step. And at some point, sometimes you're like, bro, how many more stupid steps are there? Yeah. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so if you look at the promise of eternal life, there's never an end.
Right.
Which, okay, so to get that, you kind of expect for there to never be an end to earn that. You know what I mean? Like, you're constantly gonna have to be. I mean, of course it is earned. We've already earned it by the grace of Jesus, you know,
the
sacrifice and the resurrection and everything else. But you really can't just like, oh man, this, I'm saved.
I've arrived.
Yeah.
I'm done.
No, that's not how it works.
Right. Mm-mm. We're supposed to be fishers of men, right? The call is to go forth and make more disciples. Like, now that you are in the discipleship, mm-hmm. now you got to go disciple people and bring more people to it. Right. And the best way that I know how to relate to people is by being honest with who I am and where I am and where I've been.
Yeah.
Right. So, look,
that's a steep conversation right there.
Well, but okay, listen.
The person you are, the person you've been, I mean, dude, that's
the person I'm becoming too, though, right?
Well, yeah, but I'll start there and I'll lead into the person I've been and later. Or I was later. Like, let me reel you in a little bit first before you go place a judgment on me, because I don't need all that.
I don't need the judgment. I got plenty of my own. I don't know if either one of you, surely you saw the sneak peek. You did see the sneak peek. Yeah. We should have talked about it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Where we were talking about self-love, and like Christ says to love others as you love yourself. And I'm like, well, how can you possibly love others if you don't love yourself? Right. And then I was like, straight into the camera, like, I'll be honest, dude, I don't love myself all that much. Honestly, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, you disgust me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, you broke the ice, but I'm like, even, no matter all the stuff I do, and you're like, okay, bro. But I think being very clear and very honest with yourself first and honest with people makes you, makes us more impactful.
Yeah.
It's people can relate to that. People don't like to be faked or lied to.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, before you go too far with that, there's certain levels of people that you can be.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Be 100% yourself and be totally honest with.
For sure.
Because there are some people that you can't trust that part of your life with. They're not meant for that. That's not what they're meant for. So you can't just go and regurgitate everything about yourself onto them and expect them to be understanding or keep it civil or not go and just spread all your drama or your life stories or everything. I mean, there's people for that. There's people that you can do that with. Clearly, like for me, my wife was one. Immediately, I was like, here it is. Like I come forward. I was like, right here, there, this is it. Obviously with you.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have the same kind of similarities that I have. Like, you have people that you know that you can talk to and you can trust. And because there's just some things I don't want everybody to know certain things about me.
Bear in mind, there's
things that they can do to kind of damage not your reputation, but your progress.
Yeah. bear in mind, I'm not saying I'm just openly walking up to people and telling them, you know, all the bad things I've done and been through. But I guess as conversation comes about, right? Like I'm like I've talked about perspective. I'm all about related, what I can relate to. If I can relate to it and I know something about it, then and I'm honest with people, I think it's easier for them to accept what it is that I have to say. Plus, I also know that there's a group of people that you can reach that I can't. You can reach that I can't. You know what I mean? Because you're built different than me. We're all just slightly different.
Yeah, the things we talk about, the kind of the things, the morals we stand on. We all share the same common ground as far as our morals go, but we all have a little different tweak in our moral compass. You know what I mean? There's certain things that I believe are different or right, and you're like, well, you may be off, but there's other people that are like, no, hear him out. He's got a point. Like, this could be something that you need to look at, or, you know, it could be the same way for you. You could say something and someone's like, oh yeah, you know, I really like that. And then someone else will be behind him like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. I just know it's all about a growth process. And for me to help somebody, I think that they have to trust you.
Right.
And then I don't think they'll necessarily trust you if you are afraid to be honest. And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not, again, like, I got skeletons in my closet that there are plenty of people don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to hide the fact, and you're absolutely right. We all have to have, like, confidants.
Yeah, or, you don't want to go shake them skeletons so they sound like loose dominoes. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to be playing with them.
I don't need them coming out still alive.
Yeah, you don't need to be playing with them. You need to leave them alone.
Do you know the story behind the skeletons sound like loose dominoes?
No, I don't.
So my dog, my wife's dog, sorry, not my dog. My wife's dog passed away a couple years ago. She made me bury her. Well, I used to have a cabinet shop, and I built this really nice coffin. Had her name engraved in it, like had a cross on it, like and it was a snap together lid. This thing was nice. Yeah. Bury this dog. Keep in mind it was like 3 degrees outside. It had rained the day before, so the ground was basically like concrete. So I'm out there with a sharpshooter and a pick. About 2 hours into digging, freezing my ever-loving limbs off, I get about 18 inches deep. And finally, I was like, man, you know what? Coffin's about 8 inches tall. I was like, it's going in the ground. Like, I don't care. It's going in the ground. So I cover it up, pack it down, put rocks on it and everything, bury this dog. Fast forward 3 years, we buy a new house. And my wife is like, I'm not leaving that dog. And I'm like, you're going to make me dig up a dog. Like, you know how horrible of a feel? I felt like the worst person ever digging this dog up. Well, I take like 3 scoops in, and it, like, I feel the bag. Like, I feel a blanket. I'm like, where the hell is a coffin at, you know? Termites got the coffin. Coffin's gone. It's gone. It's just a bag. And so I put some gloves on, and I'm kind of shoveling loose dirt away with my hands, and there's the bag. And I grab the bag and go to pick it up, and it's like click, 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 click.
Oh, God.
Like the bones in there sound like loose dominoes. And so that's where
the description comes from.
So, I'm sitting there, and I'm, like, freaked out. Like, I'm holding the bag, and I'm like, not only do I feel like some kind of weird, creep, you know, I'm digging up a dog. But
necrophilia.
Freaking bones sound like loose dominoes in this bag, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. That my wife hates hearing that story.
Yeah, that's a good husband.
You're dedicated, big dog. Well, and you know, part of that too, part of that conversation comes from something we talk. We like he and I very much, and probably more than us, obviously. There's plenty of people like us. Love to dig up our baggage. Mm. And he calls it digging up our dead bodies, you know what I mean? And we dig those dead bodies up and like, oh yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, shake them around because it's comfortable. Like your traumas usually are your comfortable place.
Yeah, it's the saddest thing in the world to me because like we want to continue to go back to the thing that hurts the most, but you're like, it doesn't hurt that bad because I'm used to it.
Yeah. Well, think about it this way, like Pastor Richie was talking about Sunday.
Yeah.
Like you're set up for failure.
Yeah.
Like, are you set up for failure? Is that what you're set up for?
Yeah. Are you designed that way?
Yeah, are you designed that way? No, you're not. We're all designed to succeed.
Right.
But it's that comfort place. That's easy.
Yep.
It's the laziness that we're tied up with that makes that such a comfortable place to hang out, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Trust me, it's a lot easier being the bad guy. It's harder to be a good guy. I mean, it's way harder to walk a prosperous life. It's way easier to be a straight up piece of shit, I promise you.
Word. I mean, that's facts all day. It's way easier to. Yeah,
so that's why sometimes, you know, like when you're struggling, you have a little hiccup in life and like you have something that kind of discourages you. That's why it's easy to just be like, man, you know what?
Yeah. the only thing that I feel like I get dangerously close to is excusing myself. Does that make sense? I don't want to give myself, like, I don't want to excuse my behavior, right? Like, hold on, let me think.
Justifying it is what's
happening. You know, I know that's not okay, but I made a mistake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, saying you're sorry can only work so much.
You're beating off a dead horse. Have you not seen that on Gen X Talks?
No.
No, he goes up to his dad. It's really funny.
Am I doing that?
No, he goes, his dad's talking about how everything he does is redundant, like how it's repetitive.
Yeah.
And he's like, so you're telling me I'm beating off a dead horse?
I'm like, damn.
And he's like, what, did you really just say that? And he's like, beating a dead horse.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, his son's like trying to get a rise out of him.
Yeah, I guess just to like sometimes like, okay, I know you've had a tough life, Mr. X, whoever you are, right? And I'm kind of talking about myself, but in a third person type situation, like, okay, I know you've had this and that in life, and it sucked, and you've had a bad rap and a bad deal, you know, you didn't get dealt the cleanest hand, or the, you know, ace of spades didn't come out, whatever the analogy you want to put out to it. But okay, I understand that, but at some
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got, from plate loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Point. That's not an excuse for you to be a jerk. It's not an excuse for you to treat people like shit. It's not an excuse for you to just stay stuck there. You got to go, you know what? I don't want to be this anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. You have to make a decision. You know what I mean? And But I find myself sometimes in my Christ walk maybe being a little softer on myself.
Yeah, but so let me ask you this, because I know this is how it is for me.
Yeah.
Like when I feel like I'm getting distant, like I'm taking a couple steps, like I'll take a step forward and take a couple steps to the side off the path, and I'll take a step forward and a couple, you know, and we talked about this. We talked about how hard it's been lately for me to get engaged in the Bible again.
Yeah.
My prayer life has not been what it was. And
yeah.
All these things have been going on. When it starts getting like that, it gets easy to make excuses. When you're like really truly walking a path and you are walking in God's light and you are doing everything you're supposed to do, it is so hard to be that way. Like everything that you do just feels like it's fluid. It's right. You're forgiving, you're loving, you're kind, everything, you're humble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You're every one of those things.
Yeah.
But when you start taking a couple side steps off the path, it gets real easy to be angry, judgmental, you know,
no doubt,
all these things, because everything seems so out of whack.
Yeah, for sure.
Bearing fruit.
You're not throwing your seed down on fertile soil. Like you're just
the seed is falling on soil, but it's not fertile, right? And you are bearing fruit. It's just the wrong kind of fruit. Yeah, right. It's exactly what we've talked about a few times. It's like, look, if the fruit you're seeing isn't the ones you want to be seeing, then you got to check the internal. You got to check the root. You know what I mean? Yeah. I definitely kind of, as I've kind of gone through this walk too, like I noticed that as a society, as a culture, we want to point to other people as the problem rather than recognizing ourselves as part of the problem, right? It goes all, and look, that cycle goes all the way back to the beginning with Adam.
Yeah.
Right? And Eve, both of them. Eve made a mistake and listened to the slippery-tongued enemy, right? Convinced her husband to do the same thing, right? Then when God came to call to account, not the wife, but the husband, because we're responsible for our wives.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He blamed her.
She did it.
She did it.
Right? Yeah. And then what did she do? Serpent did it. Yeah. See what I'm saying? The cycle is continuous. It's that way now.
Yeah.
So our responsibility to each other is to hold each other accountable. That doesn't mean we got to be jackasses or hurtful.
Yeah.
Right?
No, don't lie. Don't lie. Don't lie. You knew you did that.
Yeah.
not that way.
Yeah, you don't have to hurt people or hurt each other, but you can lovingly correct and be like, "Hey bro, that's not who you are. You know that's not who you are." But this is where it goes to that relationship situation that you were talking about earlier. Like, you can't just, that's not, you can do that with me, right? Yeah. I can do that with you.
Yeah.
Let some rando try to do that with me.
Yeah.
Like, right. I can't do that with you. Right. Yeah. You don't know me well enough for that, right?
Yeah, you're not going to respond well to him being like that.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So, yeah.
It takes time. It takes trust. It takes experience with that person, like, to actually develop a relationship with that person. And then you can be like, oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah, he's not being a douche. Because at that point, you kind of really start to know their character. Everything that they're doing,
right?
You know whether it's sincere, judgmental.
Yeah.
You know, hypocritical.
Right.
If it's any of those things, and you can kind of judge on your own experience with that person, like, oh, hey, no, this is a loving way he's trying to.
Right.
You have to build a rapport.
Yeah. 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 You got to kind of figure out how people are. You can't just jump right into the ship and be like, right, listen here, bro. You might get punched.
I think as Christians, we have, not us specifically, but we Christian people
are very
have a bad of habit of
very guilty of that
jumping head first
into people's business,
forgetting their own problems and recognizing everybody else's, forgetting that you still have your own business that you have to deal with. I think that's why Christ says, why are you worried about the speck in your friend's eye when you got a whole log in your own?
Yeah.
You still got problems. You're still sinful. Even as sinless as you are, you're still sinful. You still make mistakes, right? But I don't know.
I don't care how perfect you are. I guarantee you every single person on this earth sins once first thing in the morning. Something happens. There's a thought. There's an intrusive thought. Intrusive thoughts.
That's not your fault. Bro, did you hear Pastor Richie when he said that? He said, look, when the thought enters your mind, that's not your fault. It's as you, if you keep it,
if you stay there.
I was like,
enemy's putting those thoughts in your mind, but if you let them hang out.
Mm-hmm. Rent space.
Rent free. I mean,
You let them hang out. You dwell on them. You think a little further on them. And bro, you want to talk about
start acting on them. And he said, it's not the person you are unless you can't get it, or unless you keep it in your mind.
Right.
That's the person that you are.
And you want to talk about being a world class overthinker? I am a world class overthinker.
To be fair though, don't beat yourself up over it. I think all men really are like, I overthink everything.
For sure.
I overthink every single thing.
Yeah.
Like, my wife acted like she was, like, I was like, hey, you doing anything for lunch? And then I felt bad. I'm like, I just invited myself. So then we're sitting there and I'm like, you didn't have to bring me. Like, shut up, stupid.
Like, just enjoy your lunch, bro.
She's like, shut up, stupid. Like, I'm like, well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't mean to ruin your plans. She's like, I didn't have plans. But that's how I am. I overthink. Like, I'm like, man, well, maybe she did have plans. Maybe I'm intruding. Like, maybe I shouldn't have, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I think where I'm coming to be in my walk now, besides just kind of holding my group of people accountable, right? Like, it's played out in our little Bible study a few times where, you know, I kind of have to, hey bro, like, where are y'all all at? Where are we at right now? What's going on with this? I think I'm at the point now where I kind of want to be held accountable, and I want to be able to go to you and say, hey, look, man, I'm not sure about this, but this is kind of what I feel and maybe what I'm thinking. Tell me what you think. Do I need to make an adjustment here? You know what I mean?
You have been doing that. We sat and talked about Bible study. What day was it?
It was last week. Yeah.
Was it Tuesday?
Yeah.
We sat and talked about Bible study. We both talked about the end goal of this, like how it was, how things had changed. Like, we felt like we needed to get back into Bible study.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, it was freaking cool. We did The Chosen. Like, every Monday night, we'd come and watch The Chosen. It was awesome.
Mm. Yeah.
I learned so much. Like, I'm okay. First of all, I'm Captain ADD. If you can't tell, sitting still is a real problem for me. So it's hard for me to learn things. Like, I have to, like, you're going to have to give me a shot of Rosefin or something and make me sit down. Like, you're going to have to do something to get me to learn. Like, I'm not just that guy. But when we were doing that, I actually was learning because I, you know, of course I was over here doing this. Like, hey,
pause we had no like, qualms. Pause, we had no qualms with pausing and discussing. Like, because that's kind of what we wanted is discussion.
But I still do the same thing at Bible study. Like, I stop everything. Like, in mid sentence, he'll be reading, and I'm like, "Hey, whoa,
hold up,
hold on." I got the guy. If I don't, it's gonna slip my mind, and it'll never come back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you how many times that happens when we're having conversations? Like, I'll have a thought, like, "Okay, I got this thought. I want to make this point that's in my head," and we'll get talking. The next thing you know, I'm like, "What was I gonna say?"
Yeah.
Happens all the time, but you can't just blurt it out like in a Tourette's. Like, and you're absolutely right. But I feel like, you know, God is so much less about behavior modification and so much more about life transformation. We focus a lot on just the behavior.
Yeah.
Right. And don't focus on what's really transforming my life. Right. Look, my life today is nothing like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And then the 10 years before that, oh my gosh, I'm light years away from that man. Right.
Yeah.
That's all great. But if you're not careful, you can find yourself thinking, "I've come, I've arrived at this point now. Well, who can challenge me now?"
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I think that's where the arrogance comes from. The you're not doing it for God anymore.
You're doing it for you,
for your recognition.
Right, which is kind of what we were talking about.
Get away from me! I never knew you.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we were talking about with. I always forget his name. Oakland, Ryan Smith Oakland, the other day, Kenneth Copeland.
Oh, I'm like, what?
I said it rhymes with Oakland, Kenneth Copeland. Like, when we were talking about him the other day, like, do you really believe that's how he started? Like, where he's at now is not where he started.
I still have not got over him making the personal covenant with God.
I've made a personal covenant with God. I'm living to December 5th, 2036.
He gives the exact date.
Yep.
That he's going to die.
And I'll see y'all later.
At 120 years old, I'm out of here. And I'm like, and that's bold. That's bold.
Yeah. Very bold.
He says, I have entered a personal covenant with God.
Yeah, I mean.
And I'm not saying that he hasn't, but dang, man.
I don't know.
What's going to be crazy is if it happens.
At that point, we might have some questions.
Yeah, like, hey, how did you get that? How did you get the opportunity to do that?
Yeah,
and then, I mean, but
well, the truth is,
how crazy is it going to be in a month if we hear that something happened to him? We're going to be like, oh, thou shalt not tempt the Lord.
you know, so at Bible study last night, and I'm sorry you weren't able to be here last night, and Tanner as well, but. It was one of the more productive ones we've had in a while.
Yeah.
I'm being 100% honest.
Three chapters.
We went through three chapters. We also spent 45 minutes before that really discussing, like, the nuts and bolts of the Bible, how it's broke out, like, what certain sections of the Bible are kind of dedicated to. And the reason I chose to start us in the book of Mark was something that Pastor said. Like, he was like, just start with this, do that. Like, he was giving us all concepts on where to start. And he said, read the book of Mark. And I was like, all right, book of Mark. I haven't read the book of Mark in forever.
Yeah. I'm still in Judges.
Lord.
Yes.
Yes. Samson.
Yeah.
Samson.
I'm trying to get to because I want to hear the story.
Keep on reading, baby. Yeah. It's coming.
I read through chapter 5 today.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a point to make, and then I'll come back to that. I got to come back to that.
Yeah, I'm Captain Tourette's over here.
Well, so I started with that, and then as we were sitting there, Dad was like, well, I want to know who Mark is. I want to know about this. I want to know that. And I was like, well, I don't know. So I turned the page, and each of the chapters or books in our Bible, the version of the Bible we have, has kind of like a summary before the book starts. And it says Mark was John Mark. He was a friend of Paul's, and it said that he wrote this book under, like, kind of listening to Peter, right? And he's writing this thing down.
Saul Paul
and Peter, the Peter.
Yeah.
Then it said that, like, what's the purpose of the book? It has a kind of, like, just a real quick sentence, and it's like, this one is the gospel leaning more towards the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I never put that together in my reading of the books. Never. You know, because each gospel is a little different.
Yeah.
Right? We've talked about that many times. Like, the delivery is different. What they focus on is different. So this one kind of takes some of the Jewish traditional stuff and, like, kind of doesn't remove it, but it's like it doesn't focus so much on that and focus more on the good news.
Yeah.
Right? Which is what we are in that family. And I just found it real interesting. And then by the time it was all said and done, it was almost 8 o'clock. And we had gone through three chapters and we had discussed a few things. And, you know, anyway, it was nice. It was nice. It was, like I said, it was one of the more productive ones we've had in a while. And I'm glad that that's coming back. Now, to go back to, I had a thought when you started talking about Samson. We talk about, okay, so Christians can be very legalistic.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not of that vein, just so you're all aware. I'm not the legalistic guy. I operate under grace, which means nothing's okay, but everything's okay.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
If you pay attention to Samson when you get there, Samson is what, I can't remember what they call them, but he is one of the judges, right? Like, I can't remember exactly what they call his ilk or his kind, but he's not allowed to do certain things, right? For fear of losing his strength, like, because he's like a superhero.
Yeah, like cut his hair, sleep with a hooker.
Sleep with anybody. Yeah, sleep with anybody. Yeah. Drink, eat certain types of foods, all these different things. There's like seven different things that he's not allowed to do for fear of losing his superhuman power.
Yeah.
Thing is he lost all of them. He did every single one of those things until somebody stole his hair. Like, he didn't cut his own hair. He didn't make the decision to cut his hair. Someone else did it to him.
That Delilah, chick sold him
Delilah.
Out.
Yeah. But she was under duress, right? She's under rule. They're like, you're going to do this, you know what I mean? Like, for fear of punishment of...
Yeah, but so let me ask you
I'm
this.
Not saying
if
it's
he
okay.
If he wouldn't have told her where he got his strength, she wouldn't have known where to go. So that's one of them moments when you need to keep your secrets to yourself. You know what I mean? You can't trust everybody with your baggage. You for know sure. what I mean?
All I got to say is she must have been cold, man, because he was about that life. You know what I mean? But all I'm saying is like, we think as a legalistic, in a legalistic standpoint, like every single thing that we do can disqualify us from what God has for us.
Yeah. That's that little silver tongued devil in your ear, though.
100%. And then you look at a story like that and you recognize how many mistakes he made, and he was still Samson, the Samson.
Yeah.
Right.
And asked then God for strength one more time, pulled the pillars down, killed everybody in the building,
including himself.
Yeah.
Right. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they took his hair, cut his hair, and
gouged his eyes out, made him push around one of them little wheat grinding things.
Yep. And then eventually he still had the strength within him from, obviously from God, to crumple a temple just by two arms.
Yeah.
Right? Think about that. Like, if you really think about that, like, you think about...
They tied him up to put him on display, right? The king was, like, proud that he'd conquered him, right? Mm-hmm. And put him on display at this big get-together shindig that he was throwing, and then...
Mm-hmm. So you already know the story. What are you trying to get there for? You already know most of the details already. You just want to read it in the Bible.
I just got to read it. I want to read it.
But I mean, think about it, though. We think that every little mistake we make, every little thing we do, just kind of takes away all of our qualifications. That's just a lie. The world has you convinced that every time you mess up, you're no longer qualified.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. Look, I can get caught in that cycle, too. I definitely get caught in that cycle. I mess up a lot, right? I'm not all 100% in control of my tongue. I don't all, you know, I've already talked 100 times about all the different ways that I feel like I'm a failure or I fail. But I sit there and I'm allowing the enemy to tell me these things. He's the one that latches onto that thought process, and then he just amplifies it and puts it on steroids. And next thing you know, all he's trying to do is discourage you, right? The enemy comes yet to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming. He lies to you just to steal everything that you could be from you.
Yeah.
To steal the joy, the fruit that's supposed to come out of us, the fruits of the Spirit that are supposed to come out of us. All he's trying to do is steal every one of those. You know what I'm saying? I got most of the fruits of the Spirit, but I always miss two. And he said it on Sunday, and I was like, I always miss those. It's gentleness and kindness, I think. I don't remember. Can you say them?
No.
Can you say any of them? No. For the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness,
meekness,
blank, gentleness, self-control. I missed two every time.
Nope. I didn't even know there was fruits of the Spirit.
Galatians.
Yeah.
There it is. Good. There it is. Well, we're finna find them. Yep. Hey, there's wrong Galatians fruits too, five. By the way. Galatians 5 even.
I believe so, yeah.
Well, I'm just going to go straight there.
My man.
I mean, seriously. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Did you see that the very first? Yep. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Of course, in every translation, the fruits become different. They're the same things, just a different word for each. Almost here. There it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Yeah. Gentleness and self-control.
What is forbearance?
Yep. Patience. You want? We can change it to the NLT so you can.
Yeah, let's. Mike.
He said, I want to see what's going to be in my Bible.
I'm trying to cheap, like, teach me Japanese, bro.
Produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. How do I forget those two? Gentleness and self-control. There's no law against these things.
Where's the bad fruits of the Spirit?
When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Oof. Lots of them. Do you notice how there's so many more fruits of bad spirit than there are fruits of the Spirit?
Yeah. I was talking to my buddy of mine the other day, and he was so stuck on the names of Christ. I mean, distraught. His whole family's distraught. Everything about what you should be calling the Old Testament names.
The like Yeshua, said, the Yahweh.
Jesus. Talking Yahweh. About legalistic, you know. And I was trying to tell him, I was like, that's not what Christ wants. We are under new covenant. He wants us to bear fruit. Bear fruit.
Just do it.
Yeah, just bear fruit. That's what he wants. That's what he wants is believe in him and bear fruit. And
when you
let your fruit show.
Yeah. You know? When you believe wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he died and rose again so that you might have abundant and eternal life.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters what you call him. You know who he is, and that's what he wants.
Yeah, I start to wonder.
He wants that. He wants you to know who he is.
I start to wonder, does it really matter what his name is? It's like we started talking about well, we get into these conversations sometimes all the time where we kind of get down the rabbit hole and you're like, you kind of get curious about things and like, what is the firmament and is it flat earth and like all that kind of stuff. And it, at some point, I always kind of stop the conversation and go, let me ask you a question. What does knowing change anything? Yeah, how does it help? Right? It's the same idea. Like, I'm not saying it's wrong to pursue, but if that's your singular focus, you are missing the mark.
Missing the meat of it.
Yeah.
So what when he's talking about the firmament, I had a question. I wanted to know, like, okay, what's the firmament? How does that?
Yeah.
You know, because you hear people talk about it, and it's a glass dome. Like, we're a stationary flat earth with a glass dome over us. Okay, cool. How come planes fly? We talked about this. How come planes fly over the earth that mock freaking whatever?
Yeah.
And they don't have their nose dipped the whole time if it's round.
Yeah.
Right. And y'all were talking about the jet going to Germany.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Check him out. He was listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Listening. Yeah. Man. But it brought up a lot of stuff. I'm the dude that always has that question. Okay, well then, please explain this to me. Like, I'm curious. It's not like, oh, I got to prove someone wrong. It's like, tell me where I'm at. Like, what's
the unfortunate thing is like, of the two of us, I'm the one who's supposed to know those things, and I don't know those things. So like, we have to have somebody in here who knows those things to get those kind of answers.
Yeah.
Because like I was saying, in order for you to understand why the earth is curved, and yet doesn't have to point, an airplane doesn't have to point downward on the curvature, you would have to talk to somebody who flies airplanes like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you would have to talk to somebody who flies a jet at Mach 3
yeah.
to understand that you don't point downward to go over. The gravity is constantly keeping you in that rotation anyway. You're fighting it. It's not fighting you,
yeah.
right? Now, that's just the way I think about it. I don't know if that's even true. I could be lying through my teeth.
Yeah. But it's not – you're not saying, hey, this is how it is. You're just saying, hey, this is what I think.
That's what makes sense to me. But you'd have to get a Top Gun pilot in here and let him explain it to you, or a freaking astronaut yeah. to explain it to you. Are the astronauts all lying? Maybe. I don't know.
For enough money, they are.
Okay. Okay. That brings up a very
we talked about this
slippery
too,
slope conversation. Yes. Did they pay the disciples to lie?
No. They kept, dude. Okay, so look.
Oh, we're gonna go back. You're gonna go back to this.
No. The Watergate thing.
Go ahead. Keep talking. I'll look.
Okay,
for it.
So it's what is it? 12 men couldn't keep a secret for 4 hours or something like that.
3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Or the, 6 weeks.
The disciples kept didn't deny what they had been saying for some odd years. Like 12 years, something like that, right? Am I thinking
years,
correctly?
Right?
4 years.
His ministry was
three years. His ministry was 3 years.
Right. Okay, so 3 years. Yeah, it's always threes. Right. Everything is threes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is
Coulson.
Dude, this is it right here. There was a video. We played a video last time.
I know. I got to find it. That's the hard part. So you can always trust TikTok, right?
All right.
Is it going to be gone on the 19th?
We'll find out on the 19th, right?
I don't care either way. Oh, there you go. Resurrection.
If it is, then we'll be on the next thing, whatever that is.
Lemonade. But it was, or read something.
This is the one. I read it myself. I didn't. It was a. So this is, his name was Charles Coulson. And he says, I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Every one of them was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison, not to mention how the ways that they were killed, by the way, they would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for three weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep a lie for 40 years? Absolutely impossible, he says. And that is fact. You can back that up. You can go find it. It's factual. There's actually footage of him talking about it. I just don't want to sit here hunting it down. But, I mean, seriously, though, you know, you're saying that, like, for the next thing, like, if they pay them enough, sure, they'll all lie. But you really think they're paying all these dudes that supposedly went into outer space that much money? It's like the whole NFL is rigged thing. If it truly was, don't you think by now, 70 years in, it would have come out.
Somebody would have been like, hey, look. But I've said it before, too. Like, I don't trust anything unless I see it with my own eyes.
You're not lying. I understand that.
I don't trust anything. Now, I'm not saying, of course, I'm not like that far off where I'm like, oh, this is, I'm not that either. I ask questions.
And that's great.
I got to know. If I think something sounds kind of, whatever. You know? Yeah. I mean, we started talking about the firmament, and of course, instantly a light bulb goes off. Bing. Like,
yeah. I wish I knew more, you know, and I tried to find some stuff. It's just the struggle that I have is like, I don't know who's telling me the truth, especially now. You know what I mean? I don't know who's saying what's actually factual or if they're just speculating. Right. Like, I don't know. I have a very hard time trusting scientists I have a hard time trusting a lot of anybody because everybody's got their own agenda, right? And they're all pushing their own agenda, especially in the media world, you know?
Yeah.
Hell, does that make us part of it? I don't know. I have nobody's pushing me. This is just us.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's paying us a dime.
Well, that's when you take the corporate aspect out of things, then it gets as real as it can get.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's money involved. Trust me, there is some scandal going on. I promise you.
It's almost always, almost exclusively. But anyway, screeching halt.
Yeah, that kind of, the way to go, Jason.
No, me too.
Put a damper on the whole conversation. Everybody's like scratching their heads. Like,
oh, man, where do we go from here, bro?
This guy. But I don't know. So you go. Okay, so.
Oh, yeah, that's what. Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
My fault.
Let's go. I got to hear it now.
It goes back to earlier. We're talking about, like, you have no idea how many times we're talking. I forget what I was going to say, and it just popped back in my head. Earlier, we were kind of talking about, like, how we each can kind of influence people in a different way, and, like, how I was like, you know, I feel like the best way to be relatable to people is for them to kind of, to be honest with them and, like, not really hide anything. Not like I'm just walking up to people like, hey, you know, I did this and that and the other thing, and, you know, Jesus saved me from it. Like, it's not like that. But what I was getting at, though, is the power of your testimony, right, and, like, how powerful that is. Like, the things you've been through and the things that Christ has walked you through and walked with you through, even though you were a failure, are the most powerful weapon that we have against the enemy. In Revelation, it says that the enemy was defeated by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and every word of their testimony, which is our story.
Yeah.
And so, like, you think about how powerful that is, right? Like, the blood is his. He paid that. And then everything that we went through, that dealt with, survived, thrived through, all the difficult things that we've had to deal with in life, and still chose Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's a very powerful thing. And so, like, sometimes I feel like, yeah, I don't really want everybody to hear those dominoes shaking in the bag, but at the same time, it's part of the story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I, again, I'm as open a book as I can be with people who are prepared to hear it, but I'm not just sharing all of my stuff with everybody either. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not just walking out to random people. And also, too, I think we have to recognize that we're still dealing with life as we're going.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things we've already dealt with, we've already healed from. You know, we've already kind of moved past, and it's not really anything in our current life. It's just part of the story. We're still dealing with things current, right? And that's where I think you have to have people to be it within a circle to be confident with and be able to say anything, you know, and say, hey, look, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm in the right place. I don't know if I'm thinking right. I don't know if I'm acting right. I don't know if this is wrong for me. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not trivial stuff. That's the problem. Like, a lot of times we want to talk to people about stuff that really, grand scheme, isn't all that big a deal.
Yeah.
You know, should I change jobs?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Should I go to church? Probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know that forever, I was like, I'm not a church person.
Yeah.
For years. You don't have to know and love God.
It sure does help.
Ooh,
it sure does help.
Well, it helps with the accountability. I mean, people start noticing you and seeing you. And, hey, how's it going? You know, when you're sitting at home, being with God, you think all the way.
Yeah,
you're not. You don't have that accountability in your life.
Yeah, you're not fully engaged.
That's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah, you're not fully engaged.
Not fully engaged
at all. Yeah, for sure. And, dude, we need influence, right? Mm-hmm. We need people around us that are kind of showing us what to do.
I think there's something very special about your public profession. Like, when you get up there in front of everybody and not for the applause or the recognition, but you get up there and you throw your hands up during worship and you don't really care. Like, it used to bother me. I'm like, man, I ain't doing that. Like, Then I started to realize, like, man, you know, like, maybe the reason I'm getting nothing out of this is because of me. You know, so when a song comes on that you like, you really can relate to, that really you really vibe with, something that like really goes good with your situation, throw your hands up, man. Let him know, like, you appreciate it.
Yeah,
and it's not for everybody standing around you. It's for you. It's for your expression. It's for your profession. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're not trying to, you're not looking for one of these. Like, oh, hey, look at him. He finally threw his hands up. Oh, that's not what it's about.
Yeah, and then you recognize that 99% of people in there don't even give a damn.
No one's even
doing.
Paying attention to
Nobody
you anyways.
Cares what you're doing. It's you. You're focused on you.
You could probably if it wasn't for the smell, you could probably literally smoke a cigarette in there while everybody's doing praise and worship and no one would know. But it's the smell that's going to get you
caught. It's the smell's going to get you caught.
No one's paying attention to you. Everybody's their eyes are fixed on what matters. You know what I mean?
I had a pretty intense moment this week. Pretty, pretty intense. I don't know what's going on.
My wife's having those moments right now. My wife's having some intense moments right now.
So I feel like the spirit was moving, right?
Yeah.
Through me, in me.
I liked how the music was. They got a lot out of me like that. It was kind of chill. Yeah, they kind of
went a little more acoustic.
Instrumental and, yeah. Not so much.
Yeah. Not so bold.
Loved it.
Still love the bold too.
I do too, but man, that was a nice little shift.
I think that you'd be surprised if that, don't be surprised if that happens a little bit more often.
Yeah. It was nice.
It was very nice.
Quieter, I could hear. I'm deaf in one ear, so when it's loud like that,
for whatever reason, man, I was going through this on up there with Terry, and I'm just going into worship and trying to be like he was talking about, like really just kind of like forgetting everything else, and like instead of just having a soul movement, having a spirit movement, like having your spirit move, letting the spirit flow and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, then, cause I'm not super hands up worship guy either. Not that I'm not engaged in worship. I'm usually praying a lot when I'm worshiping, and I could not get off the concept of dry bones. I couldn't get off the concept of dry bones. Right. And we've talked about that story of Elisha, and which doesn't say it actually happened. It was a vision that he had about Elisha in the Valley of Dry Bones, and how the it's just like basically a sea of bones of dead people. You know what I mean? And whenever then God like made the bones get put back together, and then he breathed life into them, and like they became an army, and you know, I don't know. I was just stuck on just like breathe life into the dead areas of my life. Like, you know, your mistakes are dead bodies, right? Yeah. We've talked about that. Mistakes are dead bodies. And we talk, like, I'm not asking God to breathe life into the mistake, right? I'm not asking, but I'm asking God to bring life out of the mistake, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, Romans 8:28, for God works all things for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose, right? Which means no matter what, God can make something good happen.
Yeah.
There can be a purpose for your pain. There's a purpose for the problem. There's a purpose for the struggle that you went through. And I don't know. I just got real stuck on it. And I'm, you know, Miss Thelma.
Yeah.
She and I have a, actually, I don't know if she would want me to say her name. Me and, whatever. She doesn't listen anyway. Me and Miss Thelma, we kind of have a different kind of a relationship. We're on the altar ministry together. And before, we used to stand next to each other all the time, like right next to each other, and then they changed things and we don't necessarily anymore. And like recently, we used to pray together. Like if people weren't coming up, we would pray together over the whole congregation, and we hadn't done it in 3 months probably.
Yeah.
And last week I was like, hey, we haven't prayed in a while together, and I feel like we need to pray this over the people. And so we did. And then she's like, thank you so much. You're right. It has been a while since we've done that, but I know that was a powerful, powerful thing. I'm not looking for accolades or adulation. I just felt like it was the thing to do. But then I'm sitting up here in this moment, like I'm struggling, bro. I was dying on the inside up here. And I'm like, I feel like I should go talk to her, like pray with me about this. And then I'm like, my wife's right here. Maybe she should, or I know this person. They can pray. I want to go get them to pray with me, because, like, when you're on altar ministry, you don't get to go up and get prayer done.
Yeah.
Right? And I just turned to my wife and I said, just pray with me. And she started praying. And it's amazing to me the freedom that came from even just surrendering that for that long.
Yeah.
That's probably the most intense moment of worship that I've had in the last 5 years. I mean, very deep. Very emotional, but it wasn't emotion driven. It was spirit driven. Like I felt lighter at the end. I don't know. Just kind of really interesting to me.
The act of surrendering. I mean, that's like the basic. That's all he wants. That's all. I mean, not just with the churches, with other groups that I'm involved in, that surrendering. That's the biggest part of like the milestone of getting sober or anything you're doing with. And God loves that, you know. He loves that.
Surrender.
And he blesses you, makes you fills those voids and those holes in your insides, you know, with his breath, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what, I don't know.
What other kind of groups are you involved in?
AA. I'm in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And everything y'all were saying is like the basic, I mean, just hand in hand with everything they got going on, you know. It's crazy how it all just circles with each other as far as your mentor, sponsor, everybody. You got your small group that you talk to.
Yeah.
You got your small circles. You don't want to go blabbing everything out to everybody, you know.
Yeah.
You got your guys for that. You know, I've got several mentors that I've talked to, and one of them's always talked to me about that always sticks out is your fruit. Show your fruit. If your fruit's not showing, your guts are rotten, you know.
Yeah.
And so that always sticks out to me.
That's pretty good.
It's very true, too.
That's been weighing on me lately is I've got people that, you know, I wouldn't say they look up to me, but they're looking to me for guidance because I'm doing decent in life. You know, right. From where I was.
Yeah.
We were all in the same spot. And so I always want to check myself and make sure that I'm being humble.
Yeah.
You know, God's blessing my life. And so my fruit, I'm always watching my fruit. I'm trying to make sure that I'm in checking it. And when I was at church the other day, that was the first time I was at that church, and it was amazing sitting there in the front row because I'm always in the back trying to slide out.
Right.
But I got my mom next to me, and I got someone that I care about next to me, Renee. She's sitting there, and I've never had that moment, you know. I'm like, this is right. You know, I felt it in my guts, and, you know, it was cool. It was a good feeling.
Yeah.
But wait till you go when we're all there. We take up like four rows. Like it's insane.
Well, and mom loved it. You know, you're absolutely 100% spot on all of that. And look, like where you're at in that portion of your walk, it's different from where we're at in ours. Doesn't mean we won't eventually be in that place, right? Like that hasn't been something that God has called out of me yet.
Right.
But he's called a whole lot of other stuff.
Right.
You know, one of the biggest strongholds, and I talked a lot about this with our guys last night. One of the biggest strongholds in my life is financial.
Right.
It's the one thing that I have the hardest time letting go of control.
Right.
And we talked about the principle of the tithe, right? Which, you know, a lot of people look at that as a way for the church to just steal your money from you, which is totally a lie. Look, that's not what it's for. Mm-hmm. It's about obedience. It's about discipline. It's about surrender. It's about trusting God, right? Do you believe in me or not? Is kind of what God says to me. But look, this is an active issue for me. I am doing this as an act of obedience, as an act of surrender. But I'm also actively fighting stopping all the time. You know what I mean? Because every time I get a financial issue in my life, the first thing I think about, well, I could take my tithe. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because life's a struggle, man. Everything out there costs more than it's ever cost ever in history. You know what I mean?
I'm supposed to give 10% of everything, at least.
Yeah. And the amount of money that I make as my wife and I earn as a couple, we should not struggle for any reason.
Yeah.
For any reason, but we do. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I picked a really, really good time in life to decide to become obedient to God for the tithe. you know, I picked a really convenient, difficult time in history, in the history of the American people to choose to follow that principle. But it's that act of surrender. And I am actively making a choice every single day. And until that portion of me has been called out, I don't think I'm capable of moving on to anything else right now. You know what I'm saying?
Sacrificing, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sacrificing what you're living, you know.
Yeah. And I'm not going to sit here and complain like we're living bad, but it's a fight.
Third world problems. We've talked about this. That's third world problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First world.
Yeah, first world problems. Yeah. Yeah, we live like, I mean, we act like we live in some crazy country where we're like struggling 24/7 all day every day, and it's not the case. Like, we're so spoiled and so used to our routine and not having to deviate from that one little hiccup,
it's like we whine like divas, so complicated,
you know, we whine like little divas.
It's not that bad. I'm not, you know, I start to check again. That's another way I start to check myself. Like, and as guys, we're always like, stop acting like a wimp, dude. Yeah, of course, not, I'm saying it a lot meaner than that.
That's not the word we use.
Yeah. It's not the word I'm using for sure. No. But, you know, I've said that once on this show, and that was like 50 episodes ago. Yeah. I don't think I'm supposed to do it. We try really hard to control that. We're still guys, and sometimes we let things slip. But, man, for the most part, I just I love being around people who understand that, you know, we're all in different places. And like where I'm at in my life is different from you, and where you're at is different from Jason. And, you know, we're just kind of all on this together, and I would love to motivate each other to just continue to be better. Right. We talk about 1 degree shifts, right? One degree over the course of a few inches isn't going to make a whole lot of difference, but 1 degree over a lifetime is a big difference. You know, that's a big distance. So Jason looks like he has a funny.
It's stupid.
It's all stupid.
It is all stupid. Today, a vegetarian said she saw me on the bus last week, but I never saw her before.
Herbivore.
Yeah, I never saw her before. Herbivore.
Come on,
dad,
bro.
Dad jokes. Stupid dad jokes.
Yep, I think that's it. It's unknown, unquoted. Good people are good because they've come to wisdom through failure.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Most of what I know came through my mistakes, I assure you. What is today, 56?
56, yes.
Whoa.
Dang.
Yeah, we say this a lot, but like sometimes it's like surreal. We got 56 episodes, that's 56 weeks. 56
weeks. And there's several that we didn't release because, you know, we don't know what we were doing.
The first one, the very first recording we ever did, like I turned the recording on and I was like, okay, so like we're just pretending we started the show. And like, I'm describing what we're doing. That was so stupid.
Yeah, we're idiots.
I'm going to go back and edit those and give them to you just so you have them. We've come a long way. If you've ever, you know, if you started episode one, probably pretty good if you haven't listened to a ton of podcasts or whatever, or you know who we are, you'd be like, that's pretty solid, you know, whatever. But by the time you get to the middle of the first season, you just start to recognize how much had changed throughout the whole process and how much better we started to get at it. And we try to just come at it as a natural, like we want to have a natural conversation, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like some conversations are rehearsed, and some of those podcasts, the questions are very rehearsed. They already know the questions they're going to ask and or the things that are going to be said. And I just don't think that that's for our application. We don't want to be like that. We want to have real conversations with real people, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to have conversations with people you don't know, right? So, like, mm-hmm. I understand. But I really appreciate you taking the time. Like, if you'd ever like to do it again or whatever, I'd love to have you back.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. I was fishing all day trying to figure out what y'all were going to talk about. Yeah. They're like,
well, now you know. I mean, now you know how it's good. We just come in here. We don't have a game plan. It's just kind of.
For the most part. I mean, sometimes there will be like something that's been floating around in one of our heads that will kind of start the conversation.
Yeah, we'll kick it around throughout the day. Like, hey. Yeah.
What you got?
What do you think about this?
You ready? Ready as I'm going to be, baby. Let's go. You know, we kind of come in here and just start firing nukes and see what blows up.
Yeah.
But we have fun with it, and you know, again, hope you like it enough or want to come back at some point, and maybe we can have some more conversation. Maybe sometime there'll be some question. Maybe somebody will have some questions for us. If anybody does, we got emails.
Yeah,
you know, we haven't heard from a few people from somebody in a while. I emailed them recently, and haven't gotten a response. I hope they're okay. But bswunbound80@gmail.com is our email. We're on TikTok. We're on YouTube. We're on Spotify. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're all over the place.
Yeah.
If you want to find us, you can find us. Yeah. If you accidentally bump into us, welcome to
Stick around.
Welcome to the show. Yeah. And besides that, for Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm John.
I'm Jason.
I'm Derek.